5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat of broken ate a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad advice. We are live in the Magic City studios at the Varela Palatial right across the river through the woods from where Granny just went to bed because she hit a big old toke of the pug's breath indica in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, tats, tats, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High, and it's toll-free 1-844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Lakers have AD back in the lineup. I'm watching this one. Lakers and Mavs from Dallas tonight, late on TNT, underway. Lakers with the early three-point lead. AD is playing, although he's only going to play 15 minutes, and he's not playing in the second half. Drag. What could be worse than having the soft tissue return where they bring you back and only let you play 15 minutes like you're, I mean, this guy hasn't played in 2 months. Oh, I get it. He needs as little work as possible because, you know, they don't want to bring him back too fast because he'll get injured again and all that rhetoric. Bottom line is, if you're out 2.5 months, whatever it is, and you come back, I don't get it. What's the problem? Why can't he play 20, 22 minutes? Why can't he play 24 minutes? Why can't he play 12 minutes in both halves? I mean, that's like nothing. That's like 2 quarters. Then he's off for 2 quarters. What they're saying, he's going to play 1 quarter, and then he's going to sit the rest of the game. You know what I mean, Carver High? I mean, can't the guy play like the first and the third and then sit out the second and fourth? What's the difference?
Well, you know, we got to ramp him back up slow, Scotty. We can't get him back in the mix this quick. I mean, please, if he plays 21 minutes tonight, that could hurt him down the line. Makes no sense. Like you say, if you're going to limit the minutes or whatever nonsense you want to do, let's do it let's give him the heavy minutes. Let's do the second and the fourth quarter. You know, let's do some heavy minutes. What are we going to let him run him out there in the first quarter? Get his feet wet? I mean, what is he, first year in the league? Honestly, it's amazing
how they make $200 million.
It's amazing how they treat these guys. It's amazing. It really is.
It's candy ass. It really is candy ass. You can't even argue it. Like, I get it. You got to bring him back slow. Why has he not been rehabbing? Has he not been doing all this ramping up at practice? Has he not been working on getting back in game shape, leg shape, cardio shape? Has he not been doing that at the facility? Has he not been doing that with him on the road? Has he not been with him and getting ready? I don't understand that. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map and Sports, Byline Radio Networks, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. There he is, AD hitting the jumper from the top of the key, 20-19 Lakers. So, I mean, you wait 2 months, whatever it is. I want to see the guy ball. I want to see him play. So he's going to play the first half, and then that's it. He's going to get shut down again. So whatever. I guess maybe when they play him, don't they play him again like Saturday night or something like that? And then they'll probably give him 20 minutes, right? Saturday night as opposed to the 15 tonight. But you know he wants to play more than 15 minutes. I just don't get it. And, I mean, these guys, the load management, the nights off, we like to call them vacations here. I mean, it's just crazy.
I mean, none of them play two nights in a row anymore. None of them. I mean, nobody put. Now, I'll give Embiid. Embiid did tonight, right? Embiid played back-to-back. He played last night against the Suns, and then he played against the Bucks tonight. The guys that do, I mean, you shouldn't even be giving them credit. It's their job. But there's so many stars now around the league where you can't find them two nights in a row. I mean, you can't find them. Now, Kyrie did it the last two nights also, but Kyrie also took like six vacations this year, so he better play back-to-backs when he's actually in the lineup.
You're lucky. I said this on the air on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on the Bench. I think last night I said it. It's simple. You're lucky if you get one star player in a game that you go to. If you pay money to see the NBA, if let's say I went to the Garden and I paid through the nose to see the Knicks, because that's what you do. You pay through the nose. I mean, in the lower bowl, it's at least $700 a ticket. I mean, oh, it's ridiculous. If you went to an NBA game at the Garden, you're $1,500. That just isn't worth it. I mean, I don't care what you say. When you can sit at home and watch a game on an 80-inch TV in HD and see everything, all the highlights, all the replays, everything, all the calls, everything in HD, there's no seat in the Garden better than that. When you have to spend $2,000-$3,000 to sit in that seat, believe me, you, and if they lose, you'll wish you never went. All right, so I don't care if they play him for 2 minutes, I guess, at the end of the day. Go sit your ass down again. He's already sitting. So I'm sure he'll play in the second quarter, and that'll be that. Anthony Davis, 25-24, Dallas in the lead. So the Lakers blew the lead when he went out of the game. And we'll keep our eyes on this game all night. I mean, they suck without LeBron James. That's just all there is to it. And but it's not like I think Dallas is any good. I love Doncic, and I'm a big Porzingis guy. But, I mean, I love the Zinger, but he kind of sucks too, you know? Like, he never gets it done. I mean, when he has one or two good games a month, that's it, right? He just never does anything. He's just but, like once he, or twice a month
good.
He'll do it.
But he looks good in the post game. You know, he only has one or two good games a month, but he looks fresh. When he comes out with those shirts and the chains, and you know, Zinger right. Always fresh. You know,
he's
that's
got the fresh
one thing
cut.
He's got yeah, fresh cut.
Oh, here he is now driving the Zinger. Brick. But he gets the call, body. Anyway, he couldn't get around Harrell. So I wanted to talk about, like, that cut he's got is, like, it's literally General Patton. He's got the military cut rocking. The short military. He's like a lieutenant in the Army. Look at him. The Zinger. So I wanted to talk about the Wussbag Bucks again. Jesus. Effing crazy. Did you see they led by 20 the entire game? They were up by 20 the entire game.
Better wipe that smile off your face or I'll do it for you.
I actually was. Did you see me tweeting about you all night?
I did see you tweeting about me, and it's true. This is a tip. This was usually a spot where the Bucks should have pounded the Sixers because they played last night. We played that cut of Doc. We played that cut of Doc crying today on Coast to Coast about his schedule. I actually didn't think Embiid would even play. I'm stunned that he played. and Harris. Like, I usually these guys don't play the next night. So, but the Bucks were taking it to them. They were the fresher team. But that backdoor cover. Dun 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 dun.
Like, listen, but listen, they were up 20 the entire game. 21. They were up. I mean, at one point they were up 25. All I know is they didn't. They won by 7. They literally quit playing in the fourth. They got outscored 30-16 in the fourth. Listen to this. They were up 40-26. And then, I mean, they built so many leads in this game. It you know, bottom line was it was between, at lowest it was 10, at highest it was like 20 plus, and then they win by 7. And they score 16 points in the fourth quarter, which is garbage time. They just quit playing. They quit playing completely. And the Sixers covered the number. And it was like 9. It went to 8. They win by 7. They don't cover. And that's who they are. They never get it done for you, ever. But I told you, on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on a Bench, I'm telling you, that Sixer team is, they're posers. That's what they are. We went through this the other night, Mafi and I, on the show. I told you this on Coast to Coast as well, Carver High, that Mavi and I went from 83 until now, their litany, I mean, just consistent litany of failures in the playoffs, one after the next, every single year. Every single year, they failed. Every single year. Even when Iverson took them to the final, they lost that too. I mean, they just, all they do is lose. So I'm like, who's going to take them out? Well, the Celtics have taken them out 2 of 3. And I said, I think the Bucks can beat them. And I think the Nets can beat them. I'm not willing to go with the Nets, Carver High, unless they have 2 of the 3. If they have Harden and Irving, they'll win. They can't be beaten. If they have Irving and Durant, they can't be beaten. If they have just Irving, no Durant, no KD, they're not winning anything. But now he's going to come back, KD. Easy Money Sniper's coming back either tomorrow night, or he's going to come back Sunday with his latest injury, the thigh contusion, whatever the hell that is. What it is in English is he got kneed above the knee, knee on knee, where he actually got hit by Ariza, and Ariza's knee ended up lower than he got the low end of it. The high end bruise came from on top of Ariza's knee. When he hit him above where his knee landed, right? So he got the high end of it right into the thigh as opposed to going knee on knee. And sure enough, he's out again, whatever. And now he's coming back. So if they get him back, let's say it's Irving and KD, literally with those two and with Harris and with Green and with Claxton and with Brown and with Tyler Johnson, and I mean, Shamet, I'm telling you, they will beat everyone in the East. But as I said today on Coast to Coast, when the Suns beat the Sixers last night by 3, they went into Philly and beat them by 3, no problem. And then I told you they were going to go lose in Boston tonight because they're going to run out of gas on the back end of a road trip, right? They're going to go do what the Nets did in Tampa. They lost, right? They win in New Orleans. They go lose in Toronto. That's just a way to make money. Just here's an inside tip for you. For the most part, I'd say 8 out of 10 times, the team that goes on back-to-backs on the road, and if they win the first game, they will lose the second game, I mean, 90% of the time. They just run out of gas in the second half. What happened last night to the Nets? In the third quarter, they got rocked by a 10-4 run, something like that, to start the third. Then it was over. And then they turned it into 15-20-point lead. All I know is the Suns, I'm sure of it. I don't even, I looked earlier. I know they got their ass beat. 99-86. They lost by 13. There you go. And I was all over the Celtics today on Coast to Coast. So I'm telling you that when the Suns went in there and beat them last night, the key to that outcome is this, is that you're the number one team in the East by a half game over the Nets, whatever it is, and the Bucks right after you. If the Suns can go in and beat, and they're the number five in the West, they get no respect, they get no juice, they get no love. No one thinks the Suns are doing anything anywhere. No one. FanDuel doesn't respect them. Nobody does. They just, they're not winning anything, right? That's the you know, bettor's world. In the bettor's world, they're not getting any love by anybody. I like the Suns. I think they're really good. I love D-Book, Ayton. I love CP3, Bridges. They're a good team. I'm telling you, they've won more games in the last 3 months than anybody in the NBA. I mean, what does that tell you? So they kicked the Sixers around, beat them by three in their building. It was a lot bigger than that, the lead. They were up 10, 12, 15. All I know is Philly came roaring back at the end of the game, and then he missed Embiid the full court shot, and they lost by three. All I'm telling you is if you can't beat a team that's fifth in the West that gets no respect at all, and they can beat you in your building, you're not beating anyone in the NBA Finals, let alone getting to the NBA Finals. I don't think they can even get to the Finals. But if they get to the Finals, hypothetically, they're losing. Because if you can't beat the number five team in the West, what do you think the number one, two, three, and four team is going to do to you? Because one of those teams is going to come out of the West. One of those five teams is coming out of the West. And all five of them can beat you. All five of them. Carver, you can't even argue it.
I do not argue at all with that. I think that the West clearly has the better teams this year. And look, I think that Brooklyn, obviously, if they're completely healthy, they're going to be in the mix. But for the most part, I don't think any of these other teams are there with them.
So, like tonight after the game, the Bucks win by seven. Barkley said that the Bucks are going to the finals. I said that to you today on Coast to Coast, that they have a shot to go to the finals. Yeah, I've been hearing about this nonstop, and I've seen him play 15 times. But they're always rolling out the Lakers, this Thornton Tucker guy. Horton Tucker, and he's another one that he doesn't see anybody else on the floor when he's playing. He's just a complete go. He's bulling a china shop. He goes driving to the tin every time. I got no problem with guys that go driving to the tin every time, but he'll finger roll air balls, everything else. They're like, he's a great scorer. He's going to be a star. I've been hearing this guy's going to be a star all year. Shut up. I mean, shut the F up. Just stop. Stop selling me Caruso and Horton Tucker and Schroeder. And, you know, when I heard the Knicks wanted Schroeder, I was like, Jesus, no, please. Whatever. I'd rather have crusty old Rondo.
Got to have role players.
Cover to two.
Need role What's players. What's that? Got to have role players. You need role players.
Whatever.
On
Gopher to two. Your boy Joe Lisi is with us now on the bench for a little ride the Lightning. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Scotty. Late night special here on a Thursday night. Nothing better than this, talking shop with
Hey, so are you watching Anthony Davis's short 15-minute run tonight at all?
No, I'm watching other games, actually. I'm watching games that nobody's watching right now. I can tell you that.
What games? What games are you watching?
Pistons, Spurs, and Hornets, Bulls.
All right. Well, I got no problem with that. I mean, I got action on those games. What's going on in those games? I know the Spurs are blowing them out. They were up like 20 a minute ago.
Yeah, they're up by 7 right now, 850, 842 left. I got the over. I took the over at 216 and a hook. We're going to see if we could sweat this out here. But, well, it's going to be tight. I'll let you know.
I'm surprised that the Bulls are beating the Hornets, to be honest with you. The Hornets played the Knicks really tough in the first half. They didn't score in the second half. But Washington and company, they can hit threes. And do you think that when LaMelo comes back next week, that he's going to get them with Scary Terry rolling again?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, I actually like the Bulls in this matchup. I thought the line was a little fishy. Chicago not playing well. That line was basically a pick 'em minus one. And, I, you know, just sentiment. Everybody on the Hornets So that's why I back the Bulls here. But I agree with you. Once he comes back to that lineup, they'll have more confidence. And I think they can make a run. I just thought this was a bad spot for Charlotte right here. But we'll see how it plays out. It's only 6 minutes left in the third, so a lot of ball left.
So do you feel, even though you're not watching the Lakers, bottom line is Davis has basically done nothing. I know that when I checked before, he has 4 points. He's 2 of 8 from the floor. He just missed a little baseline five-footer, a little, floater, and he's got 3 rebounds and a dime. So he's 2 of 8 from the floor. So Russ never sleeps. Neil Young, he looks really rusty. And I guess my question to you is this. Do you believe that this giant galoof who gets injured when the wind blows will, and I mean it, like he's had injuries like every year. Do you think he'll come back from this Achilles and make it from now until the NBA Finals?
Ooh, that's going to be the biggest question. Look at Durant, right, with the Achilles. He re-heard it when he came back a little bit too soon. And you know as well as anybody, the Achilles is one of the worst injuries to come back from. You really need to rehab. You need to be on top of things. And if your body starts to break down at a given time, you can't push it because you have the opportunity to then pull it and tear it again. So I would say the way he plays, the potential for him to go through the playoffs, no. But I will say eyebrows are fantastic, aren't they?
They are. I mean, they are fantastic. You got to get a lot of leg if you have eyebrows like that. I'm thinking he's probably. Right now, the Mavs are up 10 on the Lakers with 8 minutes left in the second. But more importantly, they need LeBron back because I don't even think Davis, frankly, not because of tonight, but I don't think he could actually carry that team without him.
Yeah, I don't think he can either. They're too one-dimensional, right? You know, if he's the only player in the lineup that, you know, is a potential to score, right, without LeBron in there, then they're just going to, you know, they're gonna double-team Anthony Davis and force other players around them to make perimeter shots, and then they become one-dimensional. As good as the Lakers are defensively, you still need to outscore teams in the NBA. And right now, 35 points in the second quarter isn't cutting it. So I agree with you. In order for them to make a title run, they need LeBron in the lineup. Otherwise, I think, unfortunately, they're just a middle-of-the-road team, 500 team without him in the lineup right now.
So LaMelo comes back, like I said. Does he win the Rookie of the Year with the performance that he had up until the point he broke his wrist? Do you think, because I thought he was runaway train for the MVP of, or whatever, the Rookie of the Year. I think that he's I still think he can pick it up over the last 3.5 weeks and win it. I know everybody replaced him with Edwards. I thought he was playing way better ball than Edwards. Edwards can dunk. Edwards can score. There's no doubt about it. But total basketball, both ends of the floor, running a team, point guarding, dishing, finishing, shooting threes, being fearless, hitting game winners. I thought LaMelo Ball had it in the bag. Do you think he can still win that thing?
I think if he comes back, he has a good shot. And I'm not sold on Edwards either. I mean, the Georgia kid, I mean, the problem with Edwards is, I mean, there's games he dropped 6. He dropped 8 in a game. I mean, really? I mean, you know, you have 6 guys, 6 men coming off the bench. They could drop 20 and 25 to only be, you know, 8 and 6 in back-to-back games. I mean, even though he's a rookie, I just can't back that type of player in terms of Rookie of the Year. Too inconsistent. So if we're going with consistency, the more important player offensively and defensively, then I think you look to LaMelo Ball. But we'll see. It's, you know, this thing is a hype type of trophy. You know, it really comes down to who the media pushes and who basically they want. So we'll see how it plays out over the next few weeks.
So Joe Lisi with us. Do you think we talked about Philly on the show, and I have for a couple of days. I bet on the Suns last night to beat them, and all I know is is that I had Philly in the hook, so I covered with Philly on the money or on the spread. I had the Suns on the money line. Here's the deal: they They can't beat good teams, in my opinion. Any good team for the West. The Suns are fifth. They don't even get mentioned for having a chance to win the NBA championship. They don't get mentioned to even make the Western Conference final. They get no respect at all. But yet they go and kick Philly's ass in their building. Then they turn around and get their ass beat tonight in Milwaukee. I mean, they were down 20 the entire game. They lost by 7 with the garbage time comeback when the, you know, bottom line is that Milwaukee laid down and died. They just said, whatever, we got this game in the bag. Thanks, do whatever you want. Win by 7, whatever. They don't care about our betting. But I'll tell you this much. All it shows me is they can't beat Milwaukee and they can't beat any good team from the West. They're not beat. If they made the NBA Finals, which I don't even think they will, but if they do, they're losing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sold on Philly. I mean, I like them. I'll tell you this. I like them better as underdogs than I do as favorites. And the fact is the perimeter shooting is too inconsistent. I mean, I know Seth Curry stepped up the other night when he played, Steph Curry, and they, you know, lit it up 20 and 15 points respectively. He only averages around 11 points per game, and he's a shooting guard. He only shoots 2 or 3 times per game. So if the ball's not going to Joel Embiid, they basically are too one-dimensional. I know they have good role players. I like Simmons. I like Harris. But I agree with him. The mental fortitude to go into the NBA Finals and win it, especially on the road, I can't buy into Philly either. So we'll see. I mean, I would say, put it this way, if Boston and Philly, and you're giving me a bet on which team I might think can make a run, I would say Boston over Philly in the playoffs.
I'm with you there 100%. So the Pistons have been making me money lately a lot. They keep getting double figures again today. I mean, I got it at 12.5 yesterday. They covered whatever. Today, 10.5. Are they really within 6 right now, 6 minutes to go?
Yep. Yeah, 89-83, 6:24 left.
I mean, that's crazy, right? Like, that team, they hang with everybody. They just get in games. That's just all there is to it. And the Hornets are going to get whacked tonight in Chicago. I can't believe it. I actually thought they'd win. I hit the Pelicans laying the big wood. I laid 9. That was my number one play tonight. And I'm really disappointed in the Bucks. They were up 20 the whole game, and then they quit playing. It's just ridiculous. And I hit the Celtics tonight as well with the 3.5, whatever it was. I was getting 3.5. It opened. It was 5. Went to 3.5. I think when it was all said and done, it was like 2. I don't even know what it ended up as. This Laker game's 2. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe about the NFL draft next week. I'm sure that Joe's doing stuff on Sports Grid. I know I'm doing stuff on Sports Grid Radio and on Sports Grid TV on Thursday night. And Friday morning, I'll be on the morning after with Ariel and Smitty. That's the schedule. I think Thursday night, I'm on 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern on the radio side with KW and company. And then I'm on at 10 on Sports Grid on the TV side, and at 11 on the TV side, top of the hour both times there, and then Friday morning at 10:30 or 10:25, I think, on the morning after. We're coming back with Joe Lisi. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Joe Lisi's with us. So when I'm on next Thursday night in the draft, Joe's hosting with Mike Blewett and Rich Salmonella. Did I get that right? Hopefully I butchered that, I think. Did I just call him Salmonella? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that. I was not intentional.
Salmonella.
Carver High said his name. He absolutely, that was totally not, I was not being mean. I just completely butchered it. I didn't know his last name from Adam. I don't know anybody. Half of the people they got, I have never even
I butchered my own name, so you don't have to worry.
Listen, Joe, you know I'm boys with you. I would never do anyone wrong like that. I don't know him. He's probably fantastic. Is that the guy that's the Pittsburgh fan? Carver High?
No, that's Blewett. Blewett's the Pittsburgh.
Well, I know Blewett's Pittsburgh, but there's another guy.
No, that's
Carver
that's
High, Dave, the guy on the radio.
Yes, that's Dave Sharapan.
Salmonella,
Sharapan, all these guys. I can't remember any of that. I can't even remember what day it is. Somebody, like my mother-in-law asked today, she goes, what day is it? I go, Christ, I don't know what day it is. Leave me alone. I'm like, I don't even know anything. I can't make it from one day to the next. So I know you're on with those three. The three of you are hosting the draft. That's fantastic. I know it'll go great. I'm on with you guys at 10 and 11 on Thursday night at the top of the hour, just for, I think, one quick segment. And then I'm doing 7 to 8 on the radio side before that. And then I'm doing the next morning on the morning after. So I know you'll be on from, I guess, 8 to midnight on both. Or on Thursday night, right? Is that right?
Yeah, and then 9 to 12 on Friday. So I got a nice 7 straight hours of the NFL draft. So looking forward to it, Scotty, and looking forward to you coming on. Hopefully we'll get, you know, hopefully when you do come on, the Pittsburgh Steelers will be on the board. We can get your thoughts about, you know, who Pittsburgh selected. So curious to see how that plays out.
So I was on the air in Lansing, Michigan. I do a spot with my friend David DeMarco, the Mad Dog in Lansing.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy. He's really cool. And so anyway, I told him the story of how bad I am at the draft, right? Like, I've never been a big fan of it. I'm just being honest. Carver High knows this is true. There's nothing I hate worse than that draft. And it's when I was at CBS all the years, Joe, what would happen is they would replace me on the night of the draft, and they would have this big, you know, hubbubaloo draft show that was enormous, and they would run it all night, and then I would come in at midnight and do midnight to 2. It was like the dumbest idea ever that my boss had ever had. He's like, you know what we'll do? We'll bring Pharrell in at midnight. Let him roll into the city and do a show at midnight. So what we used to do is we used to just go out and eat dinner and get absolutely hammered and smoke our faces off before we'd walk in there all stupid and do the show. So all I know is this, is that I hate that stupid draft. And last year I proved how bad I am at it by saying on the air on Sports Grid, they asked me, I remember I went on, I was doing, you remember, Carver, they had me do the AFC North. And I went on and I said, look, I'm telling you, the best player in the draft is Jeff Okuda. And not only was he the worst player in the draft, he literally was the worst player in the whole draft. He was the worst player in the NFL. And now they want him like dead in Detroit. Like, they had a fan vote the other day. The worst draft pick in Lions history, they voted Jeff Okuda, the worst player ever. And that was the guy last year. They're like, Pharrell, who do you like in the draft? Jeff Okuda is the best player in college football. Because when he played at Ohio State, you have to admit, Joe, he was an absolute menace to society. He was a badass. And then they go pro, and they turn into Cream Puff Charlie. I mean, it is so unbelievable to me how people miss on these draft mocks and all these players. Everyone thinks they know everything. And what I've learned in 38 years of doing this is that nobody knows Shaq. Everybody thinks they know, and no one knows Shaq. And that includes all those morons on ESPN that they pay to do it for a living. The guys that, you know, Dracula and the other one, McShay, they go on there and they talk about the draft like that's all they know in life. They don't even know their wives. They don't know their children's name. All they know is the NFL mock drafts. I can't stand it. I think it's the biggest waste of time ever. You know why? Because I think you get one in a million or a great player, and the rest of them never matter.
Right.
And I don't deny that the NFL is built on the draft, Joe. I won't deny teams are built on the draft. I'll never deny that. The Steelers won 6 Super Bowls by building through the draft. I just don't know. Like, all these people that go on the air and talk about these players, they're so full of Shaq. Like, they don't watch. There's not one person that's watched Lance play a game at North Dakota. People that live in North Dakota haven't even watched that kid play football.
Okay. So that was a mouthful, and I agree with you, Scotty. You know, the problem with the NFL draft is that people are afraid to go with an assessment. They hate to go against the grain. They hate to do, you know, what the other guy said in terms of the people that do watch college football. So that's why you get this hoopla surrounding one player, and then, you know, God forbid somebody should, you know, go against the grain on that, because we always got to give the positives about these guys. I want to hear the negatives. You know, the negatives are really what make or break a player, right? So, Yeah. You know, I can say I haven't seen every single player play, but I feel I have a good assessment of the breakdown of the draft. But I'm with you. You know, these scouts, these GMs, they are like the guys that just want to pick the diamond in the rough. They'd rather pick the diamond in the rough than the player that can help their team immediately. And I think that's where a lot of these teams miss in terms of the breakdown.
Look, Joe, here's the deal. In my opinion, you know, you and I have talked every single week for the entire college football season and the entire college basketball season. I can put you and I against anyone in the business, across the entire country, against anyone. We can take them on talking about college football and college basketball. Not only that, you and I can bet on a level that most people have no concept of in college football and college basketball. You and I are great college bettors. That's all there is to it. I can have more college football games than anyone, make your head spin. And basketball, don't even get me started. I'm so good at hitting basketball spreads. I can hit college and pro like an absolute mother forreller. And then at the same time, I know every player in the country. I know them all. And I still suck at picking draft choices that are going to turn into monsters in the NFL. It is like literally trying to find a diamond in a haystack, trying to find a needle. I've tried for 38 years to pick draft picks that are going to be great. Listen, I come from the old school of, listen, if you go to Miami, if you go to Ohio State, you go to Clemson, you go to, Alabama, you're going to get paid in the NFL, even if you suck. You're going to the NFL and you're going to get paid tons of money, even if you suck. So everybody's saying the kid Smith's too light. He'll go, he's going to tear it up in the NFL because he's a great receiver. He's fast like a lightning bolt. He's going to catch a ball and he's going to break your ankles. He's going to score touchdowns. He's going to get lit up a few times. So what? He's still going to get paid.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I think the only difference about Devontae Smith is where does he go in the draft? Because I think if we're just comparing him and Jaylen Waddle, Waddle is more explosive. So what type of wide receiver do you want? They're both going to get paid. They're both going to get their money. And they're both going to be great pros. But which type of offensive playmaker do you want on that team? Do you want a Tyreek Hill type of player? Or do you want a guy on the outside where that can play the slot that's more of a possession type of guy too? That's where I think Devontae Smith is. I think he's also do great in terms of red zone opportunities because of his vertical and because of his ability to locate the ball at the highest point. Waddle's that Tyreek Hill player, though. You know, he's the guy, you put him in motion, he gets lost. Next thing you know, 50-yard bomb down the sidelines for a team. You know, he can return kicks. He can do it all. So that's the only difference, Scotty. I agree with you. Smith's going to make a ton of money, and he's going to be a great pro in the NFL.
So my team, like, because another thing, the only thing I like about the draft, I always said this on the air, it's real simple. Call me on Monday when I can look at the entire rundown of who they drafted from Thursday to Thursday to Saturday, and then I'll tell you what I think of their draft, of who they got. What they need is simple. Mm-hmm. They need a running back and they need a center. And I don't give a rat's ass what else they draft because they already have great receivers. They got a quarterback and they got a great defense and they got a great coaching staff. They got a great GM. And I still think the Steelers can win the North, even though they lost to the Browns in the playoffs. Well, the Steelers have only beat the Browns 5 million times. Okay, so I'm over that. That's fine. You win. Congratulations with all your zero anything that you've ever accomplished in the NFL. I know when it was before it was the NFL, you won all them championships in the 50s that nobody counts or cares about. Let's talk about reality. Will they get a center and will they get a running back?
I think they'll get a running back in the first round. Now, do they get the center and go for Landon Dickerson? He'll be available, I think, when they pick. So it'll be their pick. Do they go for the center or do they go for a running back? If they go for a running back, I want them to take Travis Etienne, you know, over Najee Harris, because I think he can fit in the scheme a little bit better. He's more explosive than Najee Harris because Najee Harris goes in that mold of Benny Snell. He goes in the mold of what you had there with James Conner. You know, you want a home run hitter if you're a Steeler fan, and that's where I think you go to Travis Etienne. He can get north and south in a second. He's that Alvin Kamara type of player.
So what did you, let me just ask you really quick. What, and we'll do more of this obviously when next week when the draft happens. I look forward to going on with you. Do you? I know you had great baseball bets tonight. You had a nice parlay going, and I know the Seattle end of it. What was it? The over in the Seattle game for you? What was the bet that you made the money on?
Yeah, I had the over in the Yankee game, 8, and over in Seattle, 9.5 in a parlay. I thought it was dead. He scored, I believe Carver told me they scored 4 in the top of the 10th, the extra innings. On 3
they
hits,
did.
Scotty. 7 runs on 3 hits.
That's crazy. They won 7-3, and they only had 3 hits in the whole game. And then how about the Yankees? They've won 61% of their games that they've ever played in Cleveland. They have the best winning percentage of any team to ever play in Cleveland in baseball history. Did you know that? The Yankees own the Indians in Cleveland. They can't beat anyone else, but then they go and beat the Indians.
Yeah, I thought they were ripe. I didn't know the statistics that well. I just know that they played the Indians very well, and the way they didn't score runs against Tampa Bay and Atlanta, I thought they were, you know, the line was right. 8, to me, that was doable. And on the road, I thought there was a good spot for the Yankees in terms of the total.
I thought Herman, 7 hits, whatever, but he held them to 3 runs, and I thought that was the key to the game, was Herman. And I think he gained some respect from his teammates tonight.
Yeah, after the first 2 starts where he basically didn't finish, great, great start tonight, you know, in terms of getting the win for the Yankees.
Yeah, and everyone hated his guts because, you know, he was the, you know, had the wife beater rap. So he finally got back on the team and no one wanted him. And now he's pitching great. I think they love him. They don't care about anything if the guy can win. Great stuff, Joel. I'll see you on draft night. It's Pharrell on a Bench. So this kid, Terrence Clark, a freshman at Kentucky who was in the NBA draft, he's represented by Clutch Sports. He's one of their top prized, you know, players that they were going to promote and represent and handle his career. Rich Paul, the CEO of Clutch Sports, said that he died in a car crash in Los Angeles today. At 19 years old, his mother was at his side when he died. They're saddened and devastated by the tragic loss of Terrence Clark. He played at Kentucky. He was one of the most sought-after recruits in the country. He played at Brewster Prep in New Hampshire. And he, 5-star prospect from Boston, lottery pick. You know, a lot of people thought he was going to be in the first round. And bottom line is he hurt his ankle at Kentucky and missed, like, the whole season, and then he eventually got to play in 21 in the SEC tournament. He played in, like, you know, 1 game and played for 10 minutes. So he was like a guy that went to Kentucky as a 5-star blue-chip prospect and then played 1 season. He never got to play because of his ankle, but everybody knew he was such a badass that he was going to go right into the NBA draft and get selected and probably a first-rounder. And he died in a car crash in Los Angeles today. That's just awful. I mean, he's 19 years old. That's it. He's gone. That is just terrible. I hate seeing that. I mean, I have no idea what happened. All I know is I'm seeing these reports. They're all over the place tonight about this kid dying. And his mom was at his side. It's just a tragedy. Hate hearing that. Great basketball player. Sorry for that family, for sure. Rest in peace, dude. So the Dodgers and Padres are in the third. Mookie Betts is up with a runner on first. Nobody out. No score in Lipstick City.